died on Calvary. Come out of the world, oh my people.
Welcome to Torah Life Ministries, teaching about the instructions of our Creator and putting His Word into action. From suffering well to living a blessed life, looking forward to the hope and future that awaits true believers of the faith. Welcome to the show with your host, Paul Nisan.
Hello, everybody. This is Paul with Torah Life Ministries, and we are reading another episode of the Suffer Well devotional series. And I believe this is such an important message for us to grasp. So I wanted to you to listen to this as we come down towards the end of this series. And this is a great devotional. It reminds me of something that happened, a conversation that happened last night with my daughter. So I just wanted to discuss this with you after we read this devotional today. So it's so important. I want you to share this, everybody, wherever you can. Share this and let people know about this truth, about the truth of this devotional, and about what we go through when we read these things. So this one is called Seeing Red, and we're going to talk about it. It says, but I tell you that everyone will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every empty, careless, idle word they have spoken. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned. Matthew 12, 36 to 37. You will be held accountable before the throne of Yahweh Almighty for every word you speak. When your language fails to align with the holy mind, when your words are not that of the kingdom citizen, you must change or answer the charge before the courts of heaven. Each of us will give an account for ourselves in the Almighty, Romans 14, 12. All things will be tested by fire. Whatever is not of him will be buried away, 1 Corinthians 3, 12 to 15. Time spent in any culture reveals its language. Prison, too, has its own vernacular. Phrases like, slow your roll and don't get it twisted, are commonly used among the men. Both phrases are intended to express the idea of slowing down and thinking things through before possibly speaking. In the body of the Messiah, the congregation, the gathering of thoughts intended to be holy, the totality of all that we think and speak is supposed to express the mind of Yahweh alone. However, so much of what we think and say fails to meet this standard. A lack of power being the proof of the end is this sad affair. Yes, we call it an affair, as it is an affair with the world, an affair with the kingdom that will perish. And yet, many professed believers will minimize their affair with the world by simply proclaiming, I am covered by the blood. Let us consider what that means using the Hebrew vernacular blood. Dam in Hebrew refers to life, or that which shed causes death. Which is even more piercing is the one of the Hebrew root words for blood is Adam. With just a little effort and little time spent seeking Yahweh's wisdom, you will be amazed in the depth of what it means that Yeshua shed his blood. Here is the realignment of the thought using the kingdom vernacular. The shedding of blood was what the Messiah did. That's what perfected him. He shed his Adam. He shed Adam. Stop and read 1 Corinthians 15, 45 to 49. So let's take a moment here and read what it says here in 1 Corinthians 15, 45 to 50 to 50 to 49. Before we continue, it says, the scriptures tell us that the first man, Adam, became a living person. But the last Adam, that is Yeshua, the one they call Jesus, is a life-giving spirit. What comes first is the natural body, then the spiritual body comes later. Adam, the first man, was made from the dust of the earth, while Yeshua, the one they call Jesus, the second man, came from the heavens. Earthly people are like the earthly man, and heavenly people are like the heavenly man. Just as we are now like the earthly man, we will someday be like the heavenly man. Hallelujah. And we continue reading, and it says, the shedding of blood was the death of his ego and self-will in order for his will to become one with the Father. So you see, you are not covered by the blood. You are covered because through him, the blood, the first man, Adam, was removed from you also. You were cleansed from blood, not by blood. You had to become flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of the mighty one, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. 1 Corinthians 15:50. Slow your roll and don't get twisted. Seek and you shall find. In fact, the law requires that nearly everything be cleansed, purified with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission, forgiveness of sin. Hebrews 9:22. So as I read that to you today, and you let that sink into you, let that just sink into you, what it means for Yeshua to die for us and for us to become like him. Now, I'm a health teacher, and I teach people about health, and I meet people all the time with diseases. And I try to speak to you all the time and let them know that life doesn't end when our body stops functioning. Life doesn't end when our heart stops beating. You know, we have to look at life, the eternity of life, and the whole essence of life. And if you're a person out there that believes in pure science, you're an atheist or something like that, I understand where you're coming from. Because as growing up, I just believed that. I didn't believe in anything else beyond that. I didn't believe in creation or anything like that. But then when I was 19 years old, I got diagnosed with a deathly illness that was very painful. The doctors did not have the answers for me. I was getting worse, not better, living every day in pain. And I started to believe that there was something else out there, especially when I realized through the food I was eating, I got cured. I was eating the foods that the Bible says in Genesis 1:29 that are foods for man. And I eliminated the foods that were creating my problem. When you eliminate the things that create your problem, guess what goes away? So my problem went away. But now I had a bigger problem. How could I believe in something that I never believed in before? Because now I believed this was more than just food that healed me. I was healed from a disease that people are dying from every single day. Still to this day, there's no cure medically for the disease I was healed from. But I was healed. So I had to believe in something now. But I went overboard. I believed in everything. But how could you believe in two things that counteract each other? So I had to make my decision on a spiritual path, which path I'm going to follow. And I'm a researcher and a historical buff. I love history, and I base things on research. I don't just take guesses. As I looked and I realized the responsibility I was for my own disease, whether it's mental, emotional, physical, whatever type of disease it is. We have been given instructions, or we have been given instructions of how to live according to our body, to keep our body as healthy and as happy and as usable as possible. And if we follow those guidelines, guess what? We're going to be as healthy as we can be for as long as we can be, and everything's going to work the way it should be. But nobody's perfect, right? So what happens when we mess up? And then I did the research, and I realized all this. And I realized what creates death to a physical body. But then I come to see the truth about what creates death through a spiritual body. And I realized I could switch out those things from a physical standpoint and get healed. I could stop eating unhealthy food, and I could start eating healthy food. I could stop the things in my life that were unhealthy physical habits, and I could replace them with healthy physical habits, and I could restore my physical health. But what about my well-being? What about my emotional health? And what about my spiritual health that I now believed was so important in this process? I simply could not continue going on choosing every path. Every way, I had to come to a conclusion on what is the one guaranteed way that worked. And then I realized that I'm not perfect, so I can't believe in karma. because karma says you give what you get. And if I'm not perfect, I'm in trouble, big trouble. And then I realized there's only one way, one man, one person who is God in the flesh and came down in the flesh to take my imperfections away and to suffer the consequences for me of not only my physical disease, but for everything I've been doing wrong. For one reason, that I would realize and trust who he is and who he says he was. And I put my trust and my faith in that truth, backing up with historical and evidence and research to know that there was literally a person, you know, people are looking for people that have been, if you got diagnosed with cancer, you want to speak to people that have been healed from cancer. If you have the disease I have, inflammatory bowel disease, you want to speak to people that have been healed from that. Well, I wanted to speak to the person that was healed from death. What? Somebody came back to life? Exactly. Exactly. That's what did it for me. With so many eyewitnesses to see this man being killed and come back to life and having the power to literally speak words and raise other people back to life. Yeshua, the one they call Jesus, means the salvation of Yahweh, the salvation of Yahweh. And he was in the flesh, a wonderful creator. Blind men can see. Crippled people can walk. People are not only getting healed from a physical disease, people are being brought back to life. And I believe that, and I know that to be true. And as I share with people about Yeshua, and it irks me so much when somebody says he was just a human. What human do you know would do these things? He was God in the flesh, and he is God in the flesh. And there's more than enough historical evidence out there to show that and prove that. And when I'm having a conversation with my daughter last night and recounting my life and all the mistakes I made, I said, sweetie, I don't want you to learn the hard way. I want you to realize this, and I tell this out to every single person because I'm in the same boat as you are. And I suffered from so much disease and unnecessary hardship in my life. And I don't want people to have to deal with what I had to deal with and go through. So she says, how do I know, Dad? How do I know he's real? How do I know he's real? I said, well, you told me he spoke to you. And she said, well, maybe it wasn't him. I said, well, he spoke to me loud and clear. What did he say? And I told her my testimonial. I told her my sickness, my disease. I told her about my healing. And I told her about my conversations that I've had with our wonderful creator and how he's taken me off that path of living a wicked life. And now he's helped me live according to the instructions of life, the commandments of life. And I've told him what Yeshua has done in life. And the biblical evidence is there to back it up. I know a man who found Noah's Ark, physically found Noah's Ark. And there's so many other historical artifacts that are being dug up today that prove the existence of Yeshua, our Messiah, and everything else in the Bible, of where it was, when they say it was, and everything else. Remember this, and remember this, everyone. Stop getting confused, thinking Yeshua, the one they called Jesus, was just a man. He was, in fact, God in the flesh. Without a doubt, 100%. You have a choice to suffer until you realize this, or you have a choice to come to that conclusion now. Either way, you're going to come one day to realize that he is the way, the truth, and the life. And he is our creator, sustainer, and redeemer. And all of it was through Yeshua. It says in Exodus 3, Moses asked Yahweh what his name was, and Yahweh says, I am who I am. I am who I am. He is completely good, completely righteous, completely just, completely loving. And he passed in front of Moses on Mount Sinai, and he proclaimed, Yahweh, Yahweh, Elohim, compassionate, and gracious, slow to anger, astounding love, kindness, and truth, who keeps love and kindness for thousands, who forgives iniquity, transgression, and sin. Exodus 34, 6 and 7. And how do I know? How do I know from going from a person that understands and believes and studied to creation all time that this man that walked the earth called Yeshua, that people would say that he's just a man? How do I know that he's real and that he died for us? And as my daughter asked me this question, I could roll through the answers. I could share my testimony. I could show all these different things. But the one thing is true and always true. He came to live and die in this world, to be Savior for all people. Without a doubt, it's true. And there's so many scriptures that point to that. You have to understand this. This man, Yeshua, was not created. He wasn't some comic book fictional character that was created. He was from the beginning of time. He was there from the beginning of time. He spoke with his own mouth. And yes, he certainly claimed that he was Yahweh in the flesh. And people get confused that how could he call out, Father, Father, my Father. And how could he do that if he was the Father? And then we have to understand. We have to understand the idea of life. The idea of our Creator and creation. And the idea of everything and who was there from the beginning of time. And how Yahweh had the power to literally come down in a physical form to earth. He didn't leave behind his omnipresent form. He didn't leave that behind. But a part of him was able to detach and come down in a human form. In a human form. And to suffer just like humans. And to be just like humans. And Yeshua says in John 5, Yeshua was criticized for healing a man at the pool of Bethesda on the Sabbath. And Yeshua replied, my Father is working until now, and I myself am working. For the reason, therefore, the Jewish were seeking all the more to kill him, because he not only was breaking the Sabbath, but he was also calling Yahweh his own Father, making him equal with his Father. He was, in fact, part of the Father. He came down for us. And it's over and over and over again. In John chapter 8, the Jewish people ask if he thought he was greater than Abraham the prophets. And Yeshua answered, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. They ask him if he could possibly have seen Abraham. And Yeshua said, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was born, I am. John 8:58. With this answer, Yeshua revealed he existed before Abraham. And he used the name that Yahweh called him, I am. And the Jewish understood clearly that Yeshua was claiming to be God and picked up rocks to stone him for blasphemy. And then in John 10, the people were trying to pin Yeshua down. How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly. And Yeshua told them, I and the Father are one, John 10:30. At that point, the people began to pick up rocks and stone Yeshua for blasphemy, because Yeshua was making himself out to be God, because he was. And in John 14, his disciple Philip asked Yeshua to show them the Father. Yeshua answered, he who has seen me has seen the Father. The Father abiding in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me, John 14, 9 to 14. This is such an important thing to understand and get. And no matter if you're one of the people that follow my teachings to be healed physically from a disease, or if you're somebody that's just stumbling upon this video for the first time, that's suffering from spiritual darkness, contemplating suicide, or something else like that, understand, Yeshua is the salvation of Yahweh. The salvation of Yahweh. He was there at the beginning of time. The beginning of time. He was there. You know, and people always ask, well, how could he be both Yahweh and the Son of Yahweh? I understand a part of him came down, a part of him. You know, so we got to get this. The Father and I are one. You know, the divinity is one. It's not different aspects. It's one. It's one. And Yeshua came in a human form. Yahweh came in a human form to help us realize this and figure this out. It's the only way people are going to realize this, to physically see this man die and rise again. Because without that resurrection, his death means nothing. Do you understand what I just said? And every other path I looked at, there wasn't a resurrection. But he was resurrected. And there were many who saw him resurrected. He came back. He came back, and he's coming back again. We have to realize this. His resurrection, the first fruits in Adam, all die, and Yeshua shall be made alive. 1 Corinthians 15, 20-22. Yeshua became the high priest. And at the time there was this priesthood in place, he became the high priest in the heavens to sympathize with our weaknesses. As he was tempted in the things we are, yet without sin. Hebrews 5:15. And he died as a gift to us, for us to understand this. Now, many people might ask, could we believe in Yeshua, and what's the difference? Like everyone, we need a Savior. We need a Savior. We alone cannot atone for our own sins, no matter what we do. Only Yeshua, the part of Yahweh that came down, who gave his life in a human form for us, can save you from the darkness of this world. He who believes in the Son has eternal life, but he who does not obey the Son will not see life, but the wrath of Yahweh abides on him. John 3:36. I'm telling everyone right now, no matter what you are, no matter what you believe, I lived a life without believing there was a God. And then I lived life believing in many paths of God. But then I did the historical research, and I found the truth. And we know he is real. The history there is to prove it. And he says in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one goes to the Father except through me. I am the resurrection. I am the life. And everyone who believes in me will have life, even if they die. And everyone who lives believes in me, who never really die. Do you believe this? Now it comes down to our belief system. Now it comes down to that. Do we believe, as he says, I am the vine and you are the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him produces much fruit, because you can do nothing without me. And when we mean nothing, we're talking about the great accomplishments of man. It's not about who invented a car or who first flew a plane. No, it's about under extreme pressure and extreme stress. It's under torture. It's under every hardship of man that with joy we could walk around singing and whistling like the birds, knowing the peace and calmness that is on us. Understanding that we're only here for a short time, but understanding about the eternity that's available for us. Yeshua said it clearly. He said it clearly. I told you that you would die in your disconnect, in your disbelief. If you do not believe that I am he, you will indeed die in your sins. The Father and I are one. And Yeshua told us not to worry about the food we eat or drink, not to your need to live, or about the clothes you need to put on your body. Life is more than just food, and your body is more than just clothing. Matthew 6, 26 and 27 says, look at the birds of the air. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, but your heavenly Father feeds them. And you know that you are worth more than the birds. You cannot add any time to your life by worrying about it. Men worry so much about all these things, about the food they're eating, the medicine they're taking, and all these different things. It doesn't mean don't pay attention to those things. because we need to follow the instructions if we want to get the prize. We need to understand it's so much easier to put together something when you have the directions. You don't believe me? Go to IKEA and try buying some furniture and try putting it together without the instructions. But when you have those instructions, it makes life so much easier when you follow them. Those instructions are the commandments of our wonderful Father, who's given us those guidelines and instructions of how to put our lives together. And we see it says in the scripture, that is how Yahweh clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire. He will not much more clothe you, O you little faith. So do not worry saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? Don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's troubles are enough. And John 14:27 says, peace is what I leave you with. It is my own peace that I give you. I do not give it as the world does. Do not be worried or upset, and do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Because it says, without Yahweh, things are impossible, but with him, Yeshua, a wonderful Messiah, all things are possible. All things are possible. This is why we need to understand and trust others with complete love and be giving and be a great example to the glory of a wonderful Creator who loved us. This is why Yeshua's greatest message of all was about love. It was about love. Those that love me will believe in me and trust me. And he spoke about praying, talking to him daily. The best WebMD out there, the best guru out there, the best answer out there, all the answers and everything. But you got to speak to him in prayer and call out to him. And he talked about loving mercy and forgiveness and the real blessings in life that come along with the attitude of the fruits of the Spirit, patience, love, kindness. Not all the things of man and all these things of the world. And I'll tell you this and leave you with this. The word repent means to change your mind and to change your thinking. And I know some of you are listening right now and you might have doubts. Some of you are not sure, and some of you blatantly might deny the things I'm saying. But the Bible promises, not me, the Word of God promises, if you repent, change your thinking and believe in him, he'll wash away your past. And you become new again in him every single morning. Every single morning. Everything from your diseases, your distress, and your stress and everything. Washed away and new again. You must just have faith. Come to me, all you are tired and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Matthew 11:28. I leave you with that today. And I tell you, come to him. Believe in him. Believe in him. The kingdom is near. Trust in him with all your heart and your soul. Have a blessed day, everybody, and shalom, shalom.
Come out of the world. You have been listening to Torah Life Ministries with your host, Paul Nisan. If you would like to learn more, please visit TorahLifeMinistries.org or call 917-407-2270. This program is made possible by the generous support of listeners like you. To donate, visit the website at TorahLifeMinistries.org or send your gift to Torah Life Ministries, P.O. Box 16156, West Palm Beach, Florida 33416. And thank you for your prayers and generous support. Torah Life Ministry.
Why are you striving these days? Trying to earn grace, why are you crying? Let me lift up your face, just don't turn away. Why are you looking for love? Why are you still searching as if I'm not enough? To where will you go, child? Tell me, where will you run? To where will you run? 'Cause 'cause I'll be by your side wherever you fall, and dead.